This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Today we're taking a closer look at sugar, honey and sweeteners. What's really going on when we reach for something sweet, and how should we think about many of the healthy alternatives? Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris is Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia and an accredited practicing dietitian. Evangeline, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Evangeline, let's start right at the very basics. What do we exactly mean when we say sugar?
Oh, well, typically we mean the table sugar that we pop into our tea and coffee, don't we? You know, that comes from cane and they make it into sugar, and it's what most of us are using, but it's not always what's used on packaging. So a lot of times when food packages say sugar-free, they're strictly correct because it is cane sugar free, but they've added other sources of sugar from different sort of plants into their product. So it still literally contains sugar in it.
And we'll get on to some of those different sugars from the other plants. In particular, I want to ask you about coconut sugar, because that seems to be popping up a lot. But why is sugar considered such a problem in the modern diet?
Yeah, look, in the modern diet, when we talk modern diet, it's often in the very processed foods, and we've talked a lot about processed foods. So the first thing is it's what we call empty calories. It doesn't come with any other associated nutrients. So you don't get any vitamins from it, you don't get any minerals, you don't get any antioxidants from it, just sugar. And that's useful because it helps to fuel our activity. But we can get that from other sources of, you know, that contain carbohydrates. So just to make it clear, sugars are not the only sort of carbohydrate. When we talk about carbohydrates, it includes what we call the starches. And starches, if you like, are lots and lots and lots of sugar units that have all been added together to form a big, long, complicated molecule that takes our body a lot longer to break down and absorb into the blood compared to taking a teaspoon of sugar. So that's the difference. It gets absorbed into our blood really, really quickly. And with that, insulin levels can go high. And because they're empty calories, they don't fill us up, it's what will often lead to weight gain as well.
Evangeline, a lot of people say, look, I just crave sugar. Is it addictive?
It is. It is addictive.
It is.
What it does is, so what happens is as soon as you have sugar and it's tasted on your tongue, it sends messages up to the reward center in your brain to say, hey, this is really good stuff and you need this to survive. Oh. So go and find more of it.
Of those chocky bars.
That's right. And that's a throwback to when we evolved, right? Because we didn't have chocky bars on hand. We didn't have lollies. We didn't have sugar. And so finding something that had so much energy meant survival 10,000 years ago, as opposed to now, where now it means, look, you're at risk of diabetes, heart disease, and weight gain. So it's a completely different environment that we're living in. And often people might find that they eat something sugary and they just crave more and more and more of it. So, yeah, trying to reduce that sweet food is really important. The other thing sugar does is, which we often forget, is a lot of dental caries as well. So, you know, the sugar allows bacteria to thrive on our teeth and lead to dental caries.
It's interesting because I went away down the beach on the weekend, and a girlfriend of mine brought down a packet of chocolate biscuits. And you can imagine, of course, oh, no, I'm not going to eat them. Then I eat one, and then the brain was going, you need another one. I think I ate almost half the packet. I felt guilty afterwards. But there was this, I had a craving afterwards. I was like, I want more. I want more of these chocolate biscuits. I never buy them.
I know, that's right. And it's very clever, isn't it? And if you think of, you know, a popular line of donuts that are very easy to eat, once you have one, you go, oh, wow, that was, I want more. And it's eaten so quickly, isn't it? It's so easy to eat. And you have to be mindful of that. It doesn't mean don't eat them, but I have a plan of action around it, I think is the important thing.
If you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris from the University of South Australia about sugar, honey sweeteners, and whether your healthy choices are really all that sweet. If you've got a hot take on sugar or sweeteners or honey, are you a team raw honey perhaps? Perhaps team sugar-free? Or do you just go for the plain old donuts and chocolate? Well, text us now, 0427 569 949, and we'll get to those shortly. Now, Evangeline, some people try to cut back on avoiding obvious sources like soft drinks or lollies, but where are some of the hidden sources of added sugar that we may not meet or we may miss?
Yeah, look, it's often in that stuff that says no added sugar. Because we go, oh,
trick us.
They say they don't have sugar. So ultra processed foods, your cakes, fruit drinks, lollies, that's pretty obvious. Cereals, muesli bars, all those sorts of things you've got to watch for. And the World Health Organization has said that we shouldn't be having any more than 25 grams of added sugar in our diet. So that's 5 teaspoons.
A day. That's not much.
A can of soft drink that's not artificially sweetened can have up to about 10 teaspoons of sugar in it. So it's probably not surprising where they are, but the quantity that's in them.
I wonder how much, and if you don't know the answer, it's all right, we can answer it next week, but a bowl of ice cream, for example, would have.
Depends how big your bowl is.
You know where I'm going.
I know. And that will vary a little bit, and I don't know off the top head, but I can look it up quickly. How big are your bowls? That's what I want to know.
Well, I've reduced it. I'm now putting it in a mug to cut down the amount that I've been eating. So I've gone from the tub to the bowl to the mug. But
maybe you need an espresso cup.
Well, while you're looking that up, Evangeline, there's been a lot of debate about a sugar tax. Do you think it would work?
Yeah. In the countries that have introduced it, it certainly has worked. Mm. What they find is that people, because the price goes up, buy fewer of those soft drinks. But more importantly, what it probably does is get people talking about the problem. And that's probably an important part of it as well. Yes, it does work. Do we need it? I think we should think about it, as a collective. But also importantly, it just makes people talk about it and remind people where it is. What? So ice cream. I've got that,
that how
figure
much?
For you.
I can have how many tablespoons? I can have 5 teaspoons a day.
100 grams has 21 grams of sugar in it.
Right. So there goes the weekly limit in one bowl.
Yeah. So 100 grams is like a small cup.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Good to know. Thanks, Evangeline.
And that's what people can do. They can make that decision. They go, well, look, I really love ice cream. I'm going to limit and make that my ultra-processed food where I get my sugar and I'm not going to drink any soft drinks and I'm not going to have lollies, cakes or biscuits. Or someone might be the other way and say, well, actually, you know, I want a Tim Tam and I really like them. And Tim Tam, it's probably only one Tim Tam that has that much sugar in it.
Not the whole packet.
No, just one biscuit. Not the whole packet.
Let's talk about honey. People often think of it as a more natural and healthier alternative. Is it really better?
Well, it's just as natural as sugar is, okay?
Right.
So that when we say natural, it sort of brings up all these illusions and, you know, health halos and green and all that. So it's still sugar and it's still natural. What it does is it does have some other stuff in it. Is what is in that enough to be nutritional benefit? We don't know yet. But what I say is, look, if you like the taste of honey, use honey instead of sugar, but keep it in your daily allotment of how much sugar you're eating. So, you know, I love porridge in winter when it's cold.
Oh, yum.
And I love having a teaspoon of honey and cinnamon on it. And so I know, well, there's my, you know, 5 grams or so of sugar and that's fine, but I really, really love it and I'm happy to do that. So likewise, people might like honey in their tea or on their toast and that's fine. It's coming back down to how much added sugar you've got across the day from everything.
So no more than 5 teaspoons. So if you're having a teaspoon in each cup of tea, you can only have 5 cups of tea a day. That's it.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. Let's. It can be used to treat wounds, though, can't it, as well? Like you can
apply it externally. That's been the interesting thing. There's a bioactive in it, which seems to promote wound healing. And it also keeps the site, the wound site, clear from any other sort of things that may enter it, because it's so sticky, right? Nothing can get in.
Mm.
But it's something that needs to be done under medical supervision. And I guess if in an emergency, if you're desperate and you've got honey on you and you don't have Band-Aids, then go for it, use it. But the other interesting thing as we head into winter, Warren, is using it as a cough syrup.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So when they've done studies, they've actually found that honey was more effective than a fake honey in reducing kids' cough at night. And so instead of using cough medicine, just giving him a teaspoon of honey on a teaspoon, you know, is likely to soothe the throat. And that's a great idea as well.
Mandy in Geelong says, I swear by raw honey for my hay fever. Feels like it helps a bit. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Yes, we have heard that. Because raw honey hasn't had any of the pollen or the wild yeast taken out, it seems to help with people that have got hay fever. So absolutely, people can try that.
Dave in Brunswick says, I gave up sugar in my tea and now everything tastes super sweet to me. Would giving up sugar sort of recalibrate your tastes?
It does, absolutely. When people do cut down on sugar and then put a little bit back into their tea or coffee, they really notice the difference and, you know, think of it as being quite sweet. So absolutely. And, you know, it shows it can be done. You either go cold turkey and just go from, you know, 2 teaspoons to nothing, or you gradually reduce it, you know, every couple of days and, you know, go to 2, go to 1 3/4 each time. And you do get accustomed to the taste.
Ethan says, I didn't know this, says love honey, but wow, I had no idea bees only make 1/12 of a teaspoon in their lifetime. I didn't realise that.
I know.
Wow.
They do a lot of work and only make 1/12 of a teaspoon. So it is precious stuff. And I think people have to remember not to waste it.
Just on that, there isn't another environmental importance of bees, isn't there? So how does honey, I suppose, tie into the broader food system sustainability?
Look, it's huge. And I think that's one of the concerns as we go through climate change and how that impacts on bees, how the use of pesticides impacts on bees. But bees are responsible for a large amount of pollination for our food system. So roughly 70 to 90% of our food supply comes from the pollination of bees. And this is the bad news. Without bees, we would have 90% less cocoa beans.
Oh, okay. So 90% less chocolate.
Absolutely. And we've already got problems with our chocolate in that where they tend to grow cocoa beans and cocoa trees at the moment is becoming quite arid and reducing the production of cocoa beans. And that's why chocolate prices have just gone up so high. Add that on top if you have a world without bees, and I would say that none of us would be able to afford the chocolate at that stage. So we really have to look after our bees.
Let's move on to sweeteners. There are so many substitutes. We've got all the things in diet drinks. You've got monk fruit. There's so many out there. How should we approach them, and are they any good?
Look, they came in about the 1980s, 1990s, when they discovered that these chemicals they were making actually tasted really sweet. And at the time, I just started as a dietitian, and people thought this is great. This will control weight because people won't be drinking sugary soft drinks or sugary yogurts. They'll be having artificially sweetened. But weight loss didn't occur. As we know, weight's become more of a problem. And what it seems it's that it either makes people eat more because they go, well, I'm having a diet soft drink, I'll have the donut, or that sweet taste once again is making them, if you like, I put addicted with quotes around it to the sweetness, and so they seek other foods as well, or these artificial sweeteners can be impacting on our microbiome. And we know our microbiome are really important for how our body regulates a lot of nutrients and also its involvement in weight. So it doesn't seem like these artificial sweeteners are useful at all for weight. and WHO, the World Health Organization, actually advised that people shouldn't use them as a means of achieving weight control or reducing their risk of diseases like diabetes and heart disease. So they're not effective for that purpose.
Evangeline, if someone is trying to reduce their sugar intake, what's your advice on the healthiest, most sustainable way to do that, considering that we've realised or we've learned today that it is addictive and it may not be easy to just stop?
Exactly. Look, I would just tell people, well, you either go cold turkey or do it gradually, whatever you think is going to suit you best. But the best alternative is always going to be water, milk, coffee, tea. We know a lot of people have low calcium levels, so we need more calcium in our diet. If you want that sweet taste, go for fruit. Yes, fruit has fructose in it or sugar, but it's bound up with fiber and vitamins and minerals. Mm. So it doesn't seem to impact us in the negative way that added sugar does at all. In fact, eating fruit increases our risk of cancers and, you know, premature death. Sorry, not increasing fruit. Decreasing fruit does that. Increasing fruit makes you healthier. So have fruit, have different colours, and have your favourite fruits. For me, there's nothing better than a punnet of strawberries as you know, yummy sweet dessert, or cherries when they're in season, or peaches, or watermelon, or, you know, all those yummy fruits.
I bought a punnet of cut-up rock melon today, or cantaloupe, as my parents would call it. I can't wait to get home, put some yogurt on it instead of the ice cream and eat it.
I know. It's super yummy. And get those different coloured fruits in so you get all the different antioxidants.
Fantastic. Evangeline, thank you so much for chatting with us. We'll catch you next time.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Evangeline Mancioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and also accredited practicing dietitian at the University of South Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.